following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Green 19 podcast. Hopefully, you remain safe at home, wherever home may be. I am Jim Ozarski, Tom Silverstein, and we are both in our homes still, working this podcast remotely for you. And, you know, quite a week since our last podcast, you know, when Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner were kind of top of mind. And you know, Tom, it's kind of funny. This is how the league works. We dropped the podcast. We debated receivers, and lo and behold, the Packers agreed to terms with Devin Funchess shortly after that podcast dropped. And as we record this, it is now official. It took, better part of a week to get the physical done, which has been an issue for teams and players in free agency. So let's start with that news, if you will, with the Packers adding a veteran wide receiver who fits the mold of Wagner and Kirksey in that he played a handful of snaps in one game with the Colts last year before a pretty severe collarbone injury ended his season. So he is he's now a Green Bay Packer on a minimum deal.
Yeah, and one of the things that was kind of interesting about the you mentioned how we got off the air and then all of a sudden why, you know, Funchess signed. Well, there were a bunch of other receivers who wound up signing 1 year deals as well. And, you know, the Packers came away with Funchess, who, you know, is not probably Emmanuel Sanders, probably not as polished there, but he's had some good years. He's a big receiver. He's not the speed burner that everyone seems to want for the Packers to have in the slot. He's like another clone of what they have, you know, except maybe a little better athlete.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tom. He fits the body size that Brian Gutekunst clearly likes, 6'4", 225. You know, in the mold of the now departed Geronimo Allison, who signed in Detroit shortly after Funchess agreed to terms in Green Bay. Obviously, mm-hmm. Alan Lazard fits that mold as well. Jamon Moore fit that mold. You know, Funchess's credentials, you know, was a second round pick of the Carolina Panthers back in 2015 out of Michigan. And a couple things. I'm sure he's faster than this, but he didn't have a great combine. He ran a tenth of a second faster than Blake Martinez.
Yeah.
With his 4.71. I imagine he is a little faster than that, one would hope. But interestingly enough, Tom, not a ton of production. 63 catches for 840 yards, 8 scores back in 2017. Those were career highs. 44 catches back in 2018. Carolina elected to let him go. He signed a 1 year, $10 million deal in Indianapolis to pair with Andrew Luck. And, you know, like many things in Indy last year, Tom, that went up in smoke pretty early for them. So the reason I bring up some of those numbers is you mentioned probably more talented. He is a second round pick. But, you know, 63, 44 catches. I mean, this isn't really like the second coming, although I'm sure Brian Gutekunst feels he's still an up-and-coming, emerging-ish type of guy. How do you see Funchess as a player? I mean, is this another one where he thinks it's like a Za'Darius Smith and Namath type where it's on the come yet, despite the injury?
I don't think he's in that mold. I'm interested to see his contract. I believe it'll probably be highly incentivized. He's not getting $10 million, that's for sure. I think he's type of guy who, you know, kind of the value is kind of like a Nelson Agholor, you know, a lot of potential there, but just not a ton of production, not the kind of guy who's going to be a number one. He may be a decent two, but he'd probably be a pretty good three. I don't think there's anything that says there that he's going to be a remarkable player for them. He was a second round pick, and he's definitely got talent, but he has flaws too. He drops a lot of balls. I don't know. I think in a sense that he's probably a placeholder for this year because they're going to draft a couple of guys. And, you know, it's going to be really hard for rookies to play this year with no off-season programs. And who knows, it might be an abbreviated training camp for all we know. I think in that regard, he gives them a little bit of a safety net at that position.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, we touched on it last week with potential changes to the league schedule. And we'll get into that here in a little bit with what we've learned from the league in the interim. But yeah, I mean, he being 5 years in, I guess now his third or fourth offense, perhaps, you know, they'd assume a veteran who can kind of be ready to play on a short amount of time. I think what's interesting, you mentioned the speed element, Tom. I mean, once all those receivers kind of went in a flurry, the 24th, the 25th of March, are you surprised Brian Gutekunst settled on Devin Funchess for the deal? Because, I mean, let's be real. I mean, a lot of these guys who signed in this window, they're all making about the same. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders got a decent contract from the Saints. But are you surprised they settled on him? Or is it just, hey, he hits those certain measurables that Goody really likes and Matt LaFleur is just going to have to fit him in?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a guy like Sanders, a guy like Robbie Anderson would have been more ideal, but they would have to pay for them. And it sounds like they were in, you know, they threw their hat in with Emmanuel Sanders, but based on his interview that I saw with Rich Eisen, one, he didn't want to play in the cold, but if you listen to it closely at the end, he's like, they wanted a 3-year deal and money was an issue. So they probably only went to a certain point and he wound up with New Orleans. So I think their idea was get a bargain and we'll go to a certain amount. And if we can't get, you know, a proven guy like Emmanuel Sanders, then we'll shoot for a guy who has talent, but is coming off a bad year and we can get him for cheap. I think that's pretty much the philosophy. And then I think they're also like, let's see who gets cut after the draft. You know, there'll be some guys who probably get let go with all these wide receivers being drafted.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Brian, if there's anything we know about Brian Gutekunst to this point, Tom, it's that he does not stop the roster churn. And he is, even if there are some financial restrictions, either self-imposed in terms of trying to get some bigger deals done with their guys, like Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, or, you know, whatever, you know, he'll definitely see what's available. And, you know, we'll do a little bit of a pivot because at this point, free agency is, it's not over, as you said, but it is April. And so now we are turning toward the draft a little bit. And while we do have some time to really dive into it, which we will maybe a little later this month, when we get back together, I do want to bring up something you were tweeting about because it kind of made the rounds, which was the Packers' interest in spending time with one Jordan Love, quarterback out of Utah State. And you had sort of buttressed some other reporting saying, hey, Packers are going to have him in along with other top quarterbacks. We know they wanted to do that last year, Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, I mean, I don't think Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur are the types of guys, Tom, that would create controversies and talking points on their own. And what I mean by that is I don't think they would have stepped out the way they did around the combine about being willing to draft a quarterback at number 30, if they truly weren't willing to do it, I don't think they'd step in that and they'd make it a problem for themselves if they really weren't trying to get either the fan base or their own quarterback ready for that. So let's start there. Mm-hmm. What do you make of them actually, I guess, following through on some of that and the idea of trying to get a feel for such an important position with no visits, no workouts, no pro days, and just 3 hours of Zoom meetings per week?
Yeah, I think they can. So originally, they were going to bring in Tua for sure. Jordan Love was one guy. I believe Jalen Hurts might have been one of the others, and maybe Jacob Eason. And then who knows how many others they might have brought in as well. You know, probably James Morgan and some of the others. I think they're serious about taking a quarterback, but I don't think they're not locked into taking one with the top pick. I think they want to be prepared in case one of those guys slides to them. You know, they don't know how people view Tua's hip. You know, that's a big factor. He could wind up falling to them. Now, his recent workouts seem to indicate that he's doing really well. But I'm sure all his recent tests are being forwarded to NFL teams. But that, regardless, you're right that they sort of opened that door to prepare people that, yeah, they're going to draft a quarterback at some point. It might be this year. It might be next year. It might be in the first round. It might be in the fifth round. But they're thinking about it. They have to think about it. And, I mean, they have to think about improving their backup position, too. I mean, they don't really have a proven backup either. So I think for one, they're just doing due diligence in scouting these guys. And the other is, but it's being done and with the thought in the back of their mind that, yeah, if there's a quarterback there and he's the first guy on our board, then they got to be prepared to take him, or they're going to be prepared to take him.
So two things there. One, I guess, is an evaluation question for you, Tom. We have not seen Brian Gutekunst and this current construct of a front office draft a quarterback. We saw him trade for DeShone Kizer. Clearly, they felt a certain way about him coming out of Notre Dame a few years ago. Obviously, we've seen Tim Boyle, Manny Wilkins. It's a different prospect when you are going to give up draft capital or if someone falls to you. I had a quarterback's coach in the league say that it's the lack of the in-person visit or pro day interview is more of an issue for quarterback because at least he felt there's so much to be learned about the leader, the man, the in-person interviews are so big. Now, maybe the Packers didn't have those with Aaron Rodgers back in 05. But how do you feel that matters or doesn't matter or could affect whether some guys fall or don't? Because there's tape, but I think for some of these guys, Tom, there are real questions about whether it's, can they run out of a huddle? I know a guy like Herbert, there's leadership questions or personality issue, you know what I mean? Whatever it may be. So how do you feel about that in terms of this group evaluating a quarterback that they don't get to see in person or watch the body language, all those kind of things that kind of factor into quarterback discussions?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting a lot of reports from their scouts who interview a lot of guys, probably reaching out to their contacts at colleges to find out about how a guy acts. You know, I know that I remember someone telling me about John Dorsey when he was their college scouting director and going out on the road. And one of the things he would do during the fall, he was like meticulous about knowing everything about everybody. And he talked to the equipment guy and he talked to, you know, the custodial guys and anybody who's had any contact with the guy to try to find out what kind of personality he was. So a lot of that work is done during the fall when they're making their visits to college campuses. They don't get to meet with the kids, but they get to do a lot of detective work. Now is probably more the time for the coaches to get a feel, for Gutekunst to get a feel for a guy. And yeah, there's nothing better than having a guy on your campus, you know, walking him through the locker room and seeing if he's distant or, you know, could care less about your history or that kind of stuff. That is lost. That's, you know, but every team is at that disadvantage. And so I guess the teams that have figured out how to best get inside a guy's head through video are going to be the ones who do the best.
So let's flip it to the other element where there is no scouting for this. And you mentioned Tua. He's the most fascinating player of this draft because of how severe that hip injury was, Tom. And not just that, I mean, the litany of injuries or the several he's had at Alabama prior to that. Look, he can, and I've had guys tell me this, he can post whatever videos he wants. He could say whatever he wants, but at the end of the day, that's a real medical decision. And no one can see him. I mean, they can find doctors and share x-rays and all that stuff. What... So he's a guy I could see going number two, number five, but he's also the guy I could see totally falling because all it takes is one doctor. I had one team coach, Tom, tell me, how about that for an alliteration? He was off their board because of what their doctor saw at the combine. And they're like, with no way to do a medical recheck, they wouldn't go there. And mm-hmm. So what... I mean, you've been around this doctor, Dr. McKenzie, you've been around this staff. I mean, what if Tua's sitting there at 30? I mean, what do you do with that? That's a whole other question. Because clearly if he's falling, that's clearly an indication of some medical issues that these other teams have.
Well, I think so the risk reward level changes as he drops down the board. You know, the risk level for the Packers at number 30 is not as high as the risk level for Miami at number 5. I know in the past the Packers team doctor Pat McKenzie has been one of the, I think it's a half dozen guys do the exams at the combine, and I know he's been in that group before. But even if he wasn't, I mean, he has strong ties to James Andrews in Alabama, and I think that's where he's doing his rehab or rechecks or things like that. So I think McKenzie has enough contacts to really have a good feel for where the kids, you know, what the long-term effects are. He's going to have to send out, I'm sure, tests, more recent tests before the draft to teams, and they'll share those. And then you have to make a decision. I mean, you can, I think at number 30, the Packers, if he was still there, I would take him. Unless my doctors were failing him on the physical and saying in 2 years, he's going to be done. I don't see why you wouldn't. I think at 30, that's not as big a risk.
Interesting. Well, speaking of the draft, Tom, you know, that's the first sort of public league event that's really going to be affected by the stay-at-home, safe-at-home issues, mandates from the states. I mean, the owner, the combine, we were there in Indianapolis, went off without a hitch. I think some people thought about coronavirus in late February, but not obviously to this degree. Owners meetings were canceled. R. Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood were supposed to go talk to Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst last week. So those meetings were canceled, and those gentlemen are not have not been made available to us by the Packers yet or to date. So it's the draft, right? I mean, we may have seen them in a couple weeks during the first day of workouts, but so people know this is relatively breaking news. The NFL Management Council and their IT department are working on several draft options. If it can be at the club facility, which would require all sorts of CDC and doctor sign-offs, that could happen with a very remote or few people in a room, a totally remote, which means every GM and pro personnel person is at their personal residence. Those are the options. And
yeah, and the problem is that it's got to be equal.
Right.
So one team can't be in their draft room and while another team can't. And we know that every state has its own rules. I mean, up until today, Thursday, you know, Georgia didn't have a complete stay-at-home, closed business approach, you know, and Wisconsin does. So I think they have to come up with something consistent, which by, you know, two more weeks, my guess is that it's got to be done in a remote location.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tom, at least in my last couple drafts covering the team, I don't think the Packers were a team that really allowed the NFL Network to videotape their war room. so I don't know. I mean, who knows? This is uncharted territory. The league may require just to draw the viewership, and the fact they don't have all the prospects to hug the commissioner, they may want Brian Gutekunst on a Zoom, and he has to make that first-round pick live on Zoom. I don't know. and we could see what kind of library Goody has behind him. So, obviously, it doesn't feel like there'll be any public gatherings up in or around Green Bay like they like. So, even for us, I think we'll be doing this remotely and via conference call in the league. So other than the draft though, Tom, the league came out here in the last week and basically said they're not ready to push anything into the future. They're not ready to cancel anything, postpone anything. I guess they don't have to yet. Other than the coaches, the first year coaches who I think could be working with their new teams as of this week, I don't think the Packers will be allowed to start their workouts April 20th. But in terms of the mini camps, OTAs in May, June, as of now, right, the league is kind of doing a wait-and-see type of dance, aren't they?
Well, they haven't officially canceled those things, but I think the feeling is that all off-season will be canceled. All off-season programs will be canceled, and I think the hope is for them that come August there will be enough, you know, freedom for them to conduct training camps. And if there's not, then they'll just keep pushing it. And I don't know, I think you have to have 4 weeks of training camp at least, and maybe five. And it's very possible they'll have to truncate the season, or they'll have to push it back and have a Super Bowl in March. I don't know. All of this is, of course, uncharted territory. But I would guess, you know, their intention right now is that they're going to have the season. It's going to start on time, and it'll be a 16-game season. Well, I hope, you know, they have inside information that we don't, because we don't know for sure whether it'll be safe. And so I take everything with a grain of salt. I think for right now they can plan on it, and they can say, yep, it's going to be on time, but we don't know. Nobody knows. I really can't imagine that there will be any off-season programs. Maybe they're going to be able to do something virtually where it's mandatory for players to tune in on Zoom and do, you know, classroom stuff, right, or yoga classes, or, you know, I don't know. I don't think we know that yet.
So I like to joke with you that you've been covering the Packers since Curly Lambeau started stomping around Green Bay.
But, since the Spanish flu.
But in all reality, though, do you recall at least the 82 strike, which shortened the NFL season to 9 games, just in general?
I was in college, not covering them.
Right.
So I remember how the playoffs went. I remember the, you know, the Scabs playing and, you know, how all of that went and kind of what a joke that was. But it was, yeah, that was different. And, you know, real football, it took a while for those players to get back into shape and be ready to play. That's probably the closest thing you could equate to this.
Yeah,
you know?
And of course, obviously, great trivia question with the only kicker to ever win NFL MVP in that year, but Washington's Mark Moseley. The reason I bring it up, though, Tom, is with the added playoff game, which is essentially what they did by eliminating the bye, you know, I could see, because it's the league, being more than, not happy, but playing football from Thanksgiving through the new year, getting 6-7 games in, and then having their playoff. I guess I see an issue with the PA if they were to try to play into March, because that's, you're really cutting down on the recovery time with presumably a regular 21 season. But I don't know. I think the NFL is oddly set up for a truncated season still working. I don't know what they would determine they need in order to truly define a playoff, like an odd number of games and whatever. But you're right. I think that's all on the table as these months go on. And some of this, I mean, I know you're not a huge golfer, but, you know, the Ryder Cup is supposed to happen here in Wisconsin in September, but right now, no major tournaments in golf. Those things in the summer have been canceled. The Democratic National Convention, supposed to be in Milwaukee in July, has been postponed to August. So it feels like as the longer we go here, Tom, everything starts getting pushed, and the calendar is only so many months, right?
Yeah. The one thing we do know is that the NFL does not care.
That's true.
They don't care about image or, you know, if they get the go-ahead to play, they're in. You know, they're going. And they're going to start on time. And, you know, if they have to play in front of empty stadiums, they'll do that as long as people can watch on TV. You know, they don't wait for anybody. You know, the only thing that can hold them back is, you know, our quarantines. So I expect them, you know, to be ready to go September, you know, first week in September. Whether they'll be able to play, I don't know. But all their plans are going to be ready to go.
Right, right. So we do have a few reader questions, which we asked for on Twitter via email and tweets, of course. But before we do that, and I want to do those last time because I don't want to end this podcast on a sort of dour note, if you will, sour note.
Mm-hmm.
We at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel are in the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. We are in the news, like many media companies. We are currently, our company, Gannett, has asked us, of its employees, to take furloughs in sort of an emergency financial situation, I believe 1 week at a time over the next 3 months. So that would affect us. So, you know, why don't you kind of enlighten some Packers fans, Tom, because that means at the very least you won't see or hear from yourself, myself, Ryan, Pete, Olivia, Rich Ryman in various stages from now through the end of June.
Yeah. So by law, and it's kind of interesting, for one, you know, the company is mandating that we take furloughs because the loss of revenue, they're saying, is crushing them. And, of course, there is no advertising. Nobody's buying. Nobody can shop, so nobody's advertising. And that hurts our bottom line. You know, I have other thoughts on that. We're pretty feel that we couldn't be more valuable in this day and age and this time with all the information that's necessary for people. But regardless of that, we each have to take 1 week of furlough each of the next 3 months. And what that means is we are not able to write, to report, to check our emails, go on Twitter, except for personal reasons. There's very, like, legal reasons why furloughs are defined that way. And so you will be staggered, but if all of a sudden next week, Jim, you don't hear from Jim, you'll know why. And same with me. I'll announce it on Twitter when I am taking a furlough so everybody knows. But that's kind of the situation we're in. And we'd love to have you subscribe so that maybe it would lessen the hurt a little bit. But that's just the reality of this, you know, unprecedented time.
Yeah, and of course you can go to jsonline.com/deals for the Milwaukee paper, or if you head over to packersnews.com, you can find a link there if you just want Packers news. As we all know, you are listening from around the world and across the country, so we thank you for that. Maybe you don't want Milwaukee news, but just the Packers. We give you that option as well.
Okay, before we get to the questions, I have to ask you, what are you going to do during your furlough?
Well, I've already watched all of Tiger King, so I'm through that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't started that yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to.
Yeah, that is all strange, Tom. We did not get a Tiger Queen. Well, there's a Tiger Queen in that series too. Question. Maybe we'll touch on that when we get back. I don't know. I am someone who enjoys rewatching movies. So like, and I do like to binge. So I'm someone who might put on, you know, all of the Godfathers. I'm currently going through the entire Marvel Universe in chronological order. I like that stuff. So I think I'll be doing that. They close the golf courses, Tom. I get to putt. You know, my putting game should be pretty good. I might do that in my basement. What about you?
If the weather stays halfway decent, I am going to work my garden like I've never worked it before. It will be a weedless garden. I can tell you that. My entire house, yard and everything will be weedless because I'll be out there just picking weeds all day long. I also will like to binge watch. I'm trying to get a little bit in now. I'm a big Netflix and Amazon guy, and if anybody's got any series they think really kicks butt, please email me and let me know. I'm watching Ozark right now. I love that series. It's really good. And pretty much anything else that's well done and somewhat of a crime drama, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to do is read. It's been so long since I've been able to read a book that, you know, maybe I'll do that a little bit too.
Look at that. Before you know it, you'll be back on the Packers. That's a lot to do. So
yeah, well, it's not like we can go out,
right?
You know,
exactly. All right. Well, we did get a few questions. So I'll read off the couple that came into me, Tom, and one is from our guy Dan Bushman. He prefers to email. I can't get to all of what he sent us, but he's a guy who is a fan, but finds himself sometimes lost during broadcasts or sometimes even our podcasts, Tom, with just some of the jargon. And I'll pick out two because I think these are two terms that people hear quite a bit and maybe could use some help on. So he gets a little foggy on when people start breaking down the 3-tech and the 5-tech on a D-line, Tom. Is there a way to quickly maybe help out the difference, some of our listeners, on a 3-tech and a 5-tech, when that's sort of the 3-technique, as they call it? It may be related to Kenny Clark or a Montrevious Adams, if that may help.
Yeah, so the way to figure that out is it's really based on positioning. So 0 is right in front of the center. That's the 0 position. What you would refer to as a nose tackle is a 0. If you move one gap to the guys between the center and the guard, that's a 1-technique position, also considered the A gap. You move in front of the guard, that's 2. You move to the guard's outside shoulder, that's 3. You move to the tackle, you know, that's considered a 5. You move outside, you know, really wide, that's considered a 7. So, and then they have, you may have heard wide 9, which is a gap way out there. That's pretty much how it goes. But what you see is usually 3-techniques are most often part of 4-3 defenses, 4-man fronts. You usually have one guy who's somewhere around the center and the other guy who's on the guard's shoulder. And so that's pretty much how you figure that out.
Okay, and then another one, because I enjoy particularly when I go back on Game Pass, Tom, and I hear some broadcasts. He has a broadcast one, which is a QB with a live arm. He says it sounds obvious, but what does that really mean?
A live arm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that means it really just means a guy who's the ball sort of, you've probably heard it in baseball, a live bat, the ball just jumps off his bat. Well, sort of the same thing with a quarterback, guy who can really snap it and it comes out of his hand quickly and with some juice on it. Basically anybody who's got a big arm, you know, anybody who would in baseball throw 95 miles an hour, that's a guy who's got some juice in his arm. So,
all right.
A big arm.
Well, thank you for those questions, Dave. Appreciate it. So we got a question on Twitter from Spencer, who is very concerned about the fullback spot. You know, he mentions that a storyline during camp last year was Danny Vitale bringing something to this offense. Clearly, that never quite happened throughout the year. So right now, I think they don't have a fullback. So he's wondering, A, what about it? And B, is it a potentially draftable position in the late rounds?
I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to have a guy who, you know, a Kyle Juszczyk kind of guy who's really he plays for the 49ers and is just a, you know, really a nice chess piece that you can move around in different spots, but a killer run blocker. If you can find a guy like that, that's a good late round pick. But typically, I think with the modern offenses, I don't think it's worth using a draft pick unless the guy really fits your offense and he's going to do more than play 10 snaps a game. And that's typically what it came down to for Danny Vitale was, you know, I don't even know how many he averaged per game, but it wasn't 10, I don't think, was it?
No, it wasn't many.
So, you know, it just makes sense. And plus you can also move guys to fullback. I mean, you can move linebackers to fullback or, you know, defensive, small defensive linemen. It really tight ends. It's just not a position that you're seeing much in college. And the guy's got to be pretty special to take him in the draft.
Yeah, and, I'll use this opportunity and that answer, Tom, to mention on one of our live streams with Olivia Reiner, believe it or not, Tom, I had someone ask me about James Looney moving to tight end and what the expectations were of that guy, and all credit to that Packers fan who was thinking about James Looney, practice squad guy, changing positions. But I think what that shows, to Tom's point, is that position may allow Matt LaFleur to get a little creative with his roster and who's doing what in 2020. I think we saw Jay Sternberger actually playing that role when Vitale got hurt late in the year.
Right.
So Tom does not have the benefit of seeing this question from Mark Brownlee. So I'll ask it, Tom, then I'll answer it first so you can have a little time to chew on it and maybe come up with a name. So Mark is curious, if you had the time machine and you were Ted Thompson or Brian Gutekunst, who would you go back in the last 10 years, so I guess 2010, who would the free agent that left the Packers, would you go back and make sure the Packers had re-signed? So if you were Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst, and you could go back in time and say, you know what, rather than let that guy go, you could re-sign him. So I'll let you think about that, because I'm going to go with the easy one. I'm going to go recency bias, Tom, and I think you know where I'm going by saying that. And I'm going to go with the obvious, with Jared Cook. Not that Jared,
that's a good one.
Yeah, not that Jared Cook has been an all-pro. I say him because of what's transpired since that disagreement, you know, with the signing of Martellus Bennett and then the signing of Jimmy Graham and then having like all of the things that have happened with that position since Jared Cook left. And Jared Cook ever since, it's not like he's retired, it's not like he got hurt or fell off the map, he's been a decent player ever since. So that's my recency bias, Tom, and maybe the easy one. I know I'm only giving you 90 seconds to think.
Well, he said 10 years.
Yes, he said 10
so
years.
So that's a fair. I think that's a good, really good one. I would not dispute that one bit. I think who came to my mind were Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward. And I think Micah Hyde might be the one I would pick because, for one, he should have been moved to safety. And after, you know, they had to go out and sign Adrian Amos, and they could have just had Micah Hyde there playing strong safety and still picked Darnell Savage. And not only that, he could have been their punt returner too. He was a pretty skilled punt returner, good ball skills, made Pro Bowl as soon as he left. That would probably be my pick. I just think they never found the right spot. They kept trying to make him a slot corner and he wasn't fast enough to play that, but he could have been a really nice box safety. And so that would be my pick. There's probably someone I'm missing. Jared Cook is hands down to me, a really probably the answer I would have given you, but we don't want to have the same answer. So,
Yeah, I like Micah Hyde too, largely because I think it's not just the guy. I love these questions in a way, Tom, because it's not just the guy. It's what was the effect of it after, mm-hmm. right? And what decisions have to be made then to make up for that decision? And now, you know, look, how many years did it take for the Packers maybe to rebound either at tight end? We could argue they're still waiting.
They still
and,
haven't.
And then right, even Micah right. Hyde. I mean, look, you're right. They had to pay Adrian Amos top of the market safety money, trade up in the first round for their other yeah. starter. So, I mean, they've expended, you know, quite a bit of resources chasing, I guess, that position when maybe, you know, it was there all along. So I don't know if you had any questions that had come your way on Twitter over the last week, Tom, that you wanted to throw out an answer or.
No, that pretty much wraps it up, I think.
Yeah, I think we hit a lot of the free agency stuff last week, and we're still kind of in a holding pattern with a lot of the questions regarding mm-hmm. what's going to be happening or not happening around Lambeau Field. Because let's face it, Tom, the Packers still are one of those teams that let the public watch a lot of what they do. I know Matt LaFleur closed a practice last year, one of the OTAs or camps, right? That first time in a long, long time. But, you know, I think that affects Green Bay a little more than most. So, of course, we will keep you posted on all that as we learn. So, as we wrap up here, Tom, I'm not sure when our next podcast will be, as we discussed earlier with our furlough situation. So, just keep an eye out on Twitter, our Facebooks, obviously PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, and wherever you mm-hmm. may subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, all of the various podcast centers. We appreciate that. But of course, at the very least, we know we will be back pre-draft to break all that down, what may be going on, what the Packers will be looking for, potentially doing with all of their picks as we head into a very unusual draft few days. So yeah, so other than that, I would say, you know, continue to stay safe, stay home. yep. And you know, listen,
we'll get through this.
We will the more we do that, think about it, one more day at home now means fewer day in the future that we have to do this. So definitely
stay at home,
stay safe, and for Tom, I am Jim, and we will talk to you soon on the next Green 19 Packers podcast.